The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
So it's never too early to get some football talk going, and no shortage of general weirdness to get to as well. So let's get it rolling. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
And here we go.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, the role model and creator of one really badass shirt. John Lee, the master. If you want to get in today, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And it's a Tuesday. Usually you guys are in a bad mood. Well, leave that crap at the office when you get in the car. We're going to have some fun
good
today.
Call.
Have some fun. I know it, you know, there's rain out there, which means bad drivers, and it's hot and it's grimy and it's
does it rain Tuesday. Every day? Is that what's happening?
Yeah, now? Well, we had this stretch. I kind of blame myself for this. Because if you recall, it was raining every day in the spring. And then it kind of started stopping, and then I go out of town and they're saying, well, we've got almost drought conditions again. I come back, it's rained every freaking day, and it rained the whole time I was up there.
Who has time for this?
I blame myself.
Who has time for this?
I have that kind of control over everything.
John, why's our GM in there with you?
They're chatting baseball and old-time sports radio back in the day when it was only 610 in KTRH.
What a miserable discussion.
Todd's not in there saying, I wish these guys would be more like those guys, is he?
Because oh, no, he is. He says, talk A&M football and the depth chart and Astros baseball.
Oh, well.
Yeah!
Todd's going to be mighty disappointed Crickets. With today's program, I'm afraid.
Absolutely.
But what else is new?
Yeah, that's... Oh, well. That's what you got Delotti for.
Yeah.
You can have him do that.
Todd is just waiting. He's patiently waiting for our ratings to go down so he can replace us with something else. I mean, I get that vibe every time I talk to Todd. It's like, God, will these guys just go ahead and bomb out so I can replace him? I know that's what he's hoping.
He wants Palillo over here.
I'm sure.
That's what it is.
I'm sure.
Oh, well. I hope he's waiting a long time. 713-780-ESPN. Hey, can we start with, it's not really a complaint, just a more of an observation, is okay. That all the people tweeting me what Alex Bregman's batting average is since his bad start.
Oh, Lord, I get that every single night.
I'm okay with it. Obviously, I know the numbers myself because I see the same tweets from guys like Richard Justice that you do, but that's okay. Yep. If you're going to do that, when he goes 0 for 30, I want to hear from you then. Okay. Just that's all I'm asking for. It's like, whoops. You know what he is in his last game? 250.
Yeah.
He's batting 250.
Well, the good news is, after that start, when Bregman goes 1 for 4, it ups his average.
Yeah.
It continues
still,
to up his average.
Still. So, no, I'm glad he's hitting. I said all along, I hope he turns it around, and he has.
Oh, he's been great lately.
And there's nothing wrong with that, but that doesn't mean he's going to be a superstar either. And I know, again, this a lot of people are really new to being baseball fans because the Astros suck for so long. And I think that's why Astros Twitter is as bad as it is. At least Texans fans have been around long enough. Rockets, I mean, they're all delusional. But in baseball, these are the same guys who were tweeting me stuff when George Springer was on his hot streak about how he was first in war in Major League Baseball. Well, then he cools off and he's hitting 263. He's having a good season. You look at his numbers at the end of the year, you add them all up, it's going to be a pretty good season. It's not superstar stuff. So anybody who's ever played or anybody who's ever played fantasy ball can tell you this. You go through streaks, man. Every player is streaky, some more than others, and the great ones tend to limit their bad streaks. You don't see Altuve go in many prolonged slumps.
Yeah.
And especially with the young players, are going to have ups and downs. Correa is going to have ups and downs. Bregman's going to have ups and downs. And that's why it has to play out over months. And then you look up and say, man, guy's playing pretty well. But anyway, feel free to send them. Just telling you, I want the 0 for 30s too. Doesn't mean That's not to say, oh, you were right, because this isn't a right or wrong thing. It's just those of you who think he's a future superstar, yeah, he's been hitting 340 since then. Can he sustain 340 from here?
Probably not.
No, probably not. And that's okay. If he can keep over 300, that's a pretty good first season. He'll wind up around 250, 255, somewhere in there. Pretty good first season. It's like Ken Giles. Everybody wanted to punt on Ken Giles. He did give up a run last night.
Yeah.
But guy's been money since he got his act together. Totally different pitcher. That's the game, man. It's going to happen. The good teams are just better longer. It's pretty much what it comes down to, except for really bad teams. People are just used to these really bad teams around here where it didn't matter what they did.
I think that's part of it, but I still think that there are legitimately people who believe that they're not done.
What do you mean?
They've won four games in a row. I think there are legitimately people who think that they're still the season's still going.
Well, I don't. I mean, they're not done for the wild card. That's the whole beauty of the second wild card.
Yeah,
They're up against it.
I've thrown some dirt on them.
They're up against it.
I haven't shoved the tombstone in yet, but I'm starting to throw dirt on.
Yeah. You will see a lot of some team will come out of nowhere to make a run at this over the last month. It happens every year. And I don't know that they have enough to do it. I just look at those other teams that they're battling, and I don't see them as being as good as the Red Sox, Orioles, and Blue Jays in particular. They're still behind the Mariners, who are playing better baseball than they are right now.
And the Tigers.
So you don't have to catch all those guys, because one of them will win the East and one of them will get the first wild card. But you're going to have to catch the rest of them. And I think it's a very difficult proposition. It's not impossible. I like their lineup better than I did at the beginning of the year. I just think that I'm not sure they have enough pitching, and I'm just not sure they're as good as those other teams. And I still think it goes back to the trade deadline when they didn't do a damn thing. Still, good win last night. And Doug Fister has been a really, really good pickup for them. You could not, if you told me before the season, let's give him some AM radio here. What the hell? If you had told me before the season Doug Fister would be 12-8 for this team, I would say the Astros are pretty good.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
And the Astros don't, it's not like they totally suck. I just think that they're one of the several teams that it's going to be somewhere between over 500 and not in the playoffs. There's a bunch of teams that are going to finish below 500. Those teams are pretty much bad teams.
Right.
There's going to be a few playoff teams. There will be exactly five playoff teams. Then there's going to be two or three teams in the middle. I think the Astros are one of those two or three teams.
Well, if I felt really good about somebody running off with that second wild card, I could see any of those teams getting hot, and maybe more so than I could see the Astros, but I don't really look at them and say, well, this team's a lock to get hot and make a move here.
Yeah.
I do think either the Jays or the Red Sox are going to pull away in the East, and the other one's going to be a pretty clear second. So I really think you're battling for one wild card. Are they out of it? No. Is it likely? No, but at least it's in. Chris asked, does the last wild card spot and how close it is make it more interesting? Yeah, because at least we could still talk about them as having a chance.
Yeah.
And without that second wild card, I don't think we would. And I think that adds some interest for a lot of teams. They're still talking about it in Detroit. They're still talking about it in Baltimore. Still talking about it in Seattle. And that's what baseball was going for, and good for them. I look at it, and I still think it's an uphill climb. That's all.
I'll tell you another team that no one's really talked about. The Royals have won 8 games in a row, 13 out of 15. They went from being
dead. Let's. I don't want to throw them out of there either, because they're their bullpen got good when Davis got hurt.
Well,
it's very strange.
And now they're about to get Wade Davis back.
Yeah,
I mean, this is a team that they got to be getting close. And Jason Vargas coming back from Tommy John surgery. They're about to get some pitching thrown in there. And I mean, that's a team that's won it all. It's hard to count them out when they've done it before. So You know, I think that's maybe a team we should mention when we're talking about all the teams vying for those spots, because I think they're a half game behind the Astros. Yeah, half game behind the Astros.
Yeah,
now.
Well, and I'm just counting the ones that are in front of them right now.
Okay.
But yeah, they're, but that's what I'm saying. Somebody who come out of nowhere could very well be the Royals. We know they have a pedigree. We know they can do it. But yeah, and, it is interesting. You know,
the Yankees are hitting, which is kind of crazy, but the Yankees are hitting. They're playing pretty well. They got a bunch of they traded away their best players, and then. Now, well, and some of them retired, and now all of a sudden, hey.
Well, there's something to be said for addition by subtraction, and I think there was some of that, especially with A-Rod.
Well, and I think there's a youth movement going on there, too. That I mean, they got a bunch of prospects for those guys, and some of these guys are ready to play. Gary Sanchez, that catcher, looks to be a pretty good player. And you know, getting – what's good for them is they are not only, you know, contending right now, but they're getting important at-bats for guys – who are their future. So I think they're an interesting team to watch. I'll say this. The American League, at least with, I mean, what are we down to? Less than 40 games, huh?
Yeah.
It's going to be a good finish. There's going to be a couple teams that are within, I think, two or three games of that last spot and going to be really bummed out.
And it could very well, as it has the last couple of years, I think it's coming down to the last day or two.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it fun. That'll make it interesting. It'd be fun if the Astros were a part of it, even if they come up short at the end. It'd be nice to see them in the mix right at the end. And I think it's an uphill climb. That's all. So, and the reality is, I just feel like they should have done something at the deadline. It's really hard to get excited about them now.
Well, if they don't do anything, if they don't make it, then that's something that we'll definitely be able to point to.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm sure they'll have excuses for it. You know, a lot of people are asking us about the legalities of daily fantasy, and
as of now, you can play at DraftKings. Football is just like for you guys; it's our passion. You know all the players, the teams, the strengths, the weaknesses. Now you can put that knowledge to the test and play for your shot at $1 million. The top prize at DraftKings.com. It's just part of the $5 million in total prizes they're doing in the Week 1 contest. $5 million bucks in Week 1. DraftKings.com is the destination for one-week fantasy football. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. You play when you want with the players you want. You pick your contest, draft your players, follow your team live. Renew old rivalries by challenging friends and family in a private league to prove you're the superior GM. Or you can join an existing league and go head-to-head with friends, coworkers, and fantasy players from all around the country. Hurry to DraftKings.com now to choose your players. You could seriously cash in Week 1. Use code Houston and you'll play for free with your first deposit. That's Houston to play for free for your share of $5 million in total prizes in this Week 1 contest. It's only at DraftKings.com. That's DraftKings.com. Eligibility restrictions may apply. See the website for details. It's DraftKings.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Happy Tuesday. I hope you're having a good one. If you want to get in, 713-780-3776. I'll let AJ address this one since Lamont asked. Wait, I thought daily fantasy was over in Texas. I'll do part of it and AJ can go with the rest of it. The attorney general gave an opinion that it's illegal. Right now it's being challenged in court, and until it is, it's legal.
Yeah, it's like an appeals process. So
right.
As of now, play away.
Yeah. Until they tell you you can't.
Yep.
And I think DraftKings is the only one that's doing that. So
yeah, FanDuel's the other big one, and I think they're kind of staying away from it. They just kind of, I don't want to say they took it lying down because I know they were pretty pissed about it when it first happened, but they've decided not to come back to Texas. But DraftKings is pushing and fighting, and they don't want to go away. So until further notice, they're going to keep doing it. And I honestly find it hard to believe they're going to find this illegal. I mean,
this is Texas, dude. Come on. Are you
true.
Kidding me? There's no way. I think I just hope that we can get through a season. That's my hope.
That's the hope.
Because realistically, in reality, it's just like poker to me, though. That should not be illegal either. Online poker shouldn't be illegal. It's a game of skill really with an element of luck. And that's what this is. And unfortunately...
Which, by the way, what game of skill doesn't have an element of luck?
Every game of skill has an element of luck. How you can sit there and determine this is the same thing as pulling a damn slot machine is ridiculous. And that's what they're doing. And I think it should all be...
But you can play the lotto.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Go do that. Money into that.
Yeah, because that money goes to education.
Yeah, right. Because that's a game of luck with zero skill aspect.
Oh, no. AJ, that's not true. You have to...
No.
You have to get that penny in just the right place.
No.
When you scratch.
That's a made-up belief.
Yeah.
Not true at all.
Well, I would say if you're into it, play away, man. I'm kind of the opinion that I'm going to wait and see how things play out, and hopefully it'll all get legalized. I still think we should have legalized gambling, but
and that's kind of the beauty of these things is it's week to week. So if they decide week three you can't do it anymore, okay,
yeah.
I mean, it's not going to be the same situation as it was with poker, where those poker sites were technically not being run legally to begin with.
Right.
And you're just kind of screwed out of your money. These are sites that have been being run legally in the country for a long time. If they shut them down, you'll be able to get your money out. It's not going to be like, you know, ultimate bet or whatever it was where people just got hosed. With Poker Stars, were they the ones who got the worst?
No, Full Tilt was worse than Poker Stars.
That's right.
It took me almost a year to get money from Full Tilt. It took about 6 months to get it out of Poker Stars. And the time I needed it, that's how I was making my living.
Right.
And it was not a small amount. So.
But this is a case where if they decide to stop letting you play, they're not going to take your money away. You're not doing anything illegal by playing. So.
And if
you enjoy playing daily fantasy, play away for now.
And just for. I know it's Tuesday, so we get dickweeds texting in, but weren't you the one telling us to get our money out of daily fantasy sites, Fred? Now that they're a sponsor, play away, hypocrite much? No, I'm not a hypocrite because I'm not doing it.
The law's changed.
Well, I mean, the law's changed. B, I'm not going to play. So if that makes me a hypocrite, okay. But bleep you and go drive into a ditch. Let's try a phone call. Mike.
I love that. When the law changes, you can't change
your opinion. Yeah, I know. You can't change
your opinion
about anything. You're just automatically a hypocrite. Yeah. I'm fine. Look, I think your money's safe. If you want to play, I think your money's safe. I'm not going to do it.
Right.
I've already been burned so badly on something that I needed to make a living off of, that I'm not going to do it.
That's fair.
And that's just me.
But when they said it was illegal, we both recommended get your money out of it. Because if you're still trying to play and it's illegal, they'll probably seize your money. Now they're saying it's legal until further notice. Feel free to play. And they're not going to seize your money for doing something that at the time was legal.
Exactly.
So you're in it's different. It's a different situation than when we said get your money out of it, because I was right there with you. I said get your money out. Don't try to play this once they say it's illegal.
But while they're challenging it,
while it's in appeals,
And you people with you're a hypocrite because you said something 6 months ago and things change. So this is why Tuesdays suck. It's people like that. Hey, honestly, man, just go slit your throat. Let's try Mike. I don't really slit your throat. That's sarcasm. Probably dumb enough to do it. Mike, what's up?
Sports. Mainly, this was directed towards fantasy football in general. You know, I've been playing for the last 15-odd years fantasy football, and, you know, I notice the rankings every year are usually the same. You know, draft, you know, your quarterback early, you might get like Gronkowski or Calvin Johnson, you know, in the first round, that's kind of like a must-have draftable in the first. But I'm looking at the rankings this year, and the way that all the professionals have it set up is it's like 90% running backs going in the first round. You know, they really don't have, you know, a quarterback ranked until, you know, projected third round. And, you know, you got your Gronkowski in the first. You know, I'm just trying to figure out how they come up with these rankings for these fantasy football points. And, I mean, I've already done a few mock drafts, and people are still, you know, going off of the rankings. So I wanted to get your guys' thinking. Thanks.
Okay, I feel like we do this call once a year, but I'll try and explain it. The reason why you see when there's experts, power rankings and things like that, and mock drafts, you see that running backs and wide receivers tend to go first is because there are, you're going to have, like, let's say there's 12 teams in your league. You're going to have 36 wide receivers start every week and 24 running backs and 12 quarterbacks. And the difference between the number one wide receiver versus the number 36 wide receiver is far greater than the difference between the number one quarterback and the number 12 quarterback. And that's what it boils down to. If you get down to where if you don't get one of the 12 best quarterbacks, you could still win your league. If you've got the 13th and 14th running or quarterbacks on the board, those guys could still be pretty decent. In fact, Cam Newton was one of those up till a couple years ago. Russell Wilson used to be one of those. If you get the 25th and 26th running back in the league, and those are your starting running backs, you're probably not going to do that great. And it's just math and the way that these, I mean, the quarterbacks score the most points, but the difference between what QB1 scores versus what QB12 scores is not the same as wide receiver 1 versus wide receiver 36 is what it boils down to. Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Save that segment there so when we get that call again, you can just say segment 2 from Tuesday the 23rd. Let's try Jared. What's up, Jared?
Gentlemen, sports.
Hey, sports, man.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to chime in. I love DraftKings. I think it's so much fun. And, I mean, $3 to win $1 million in a couple of weeks, and that's going to be awesome. And I also want to talk about online poker because I played regularly on Full Tilt and Poker Stars, and I actually ended up winning the Midnight Madness for about $4,500 2 weeks before Black Friday. So, 1 second, I'm on top of the world, building a nice bankroll, and then 2 weeks later, it's lights out, and I got to go back to my regular job. So, it's just absolute garbage that they find that to be like such gambling when it's really a game of skill, like you said, with an element of gambling, an element of luck to it.
Were you able to get your dough out of there?
No, you know, my bankroll management wasn't the greatest. They had a Full Tilt Poker Series that week after, and I kind of blew most of it there. I mean, probably should have known something was going on when there's a $3 million prize pool for $200 buy-in.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of didn't have much to cash out, so I didn't really fight it when it all came around that you could get your money back. But, yeah, it's just total garbage, absolute garbage.
Well, none of us saw it coming, man. If we did, we would all have our money out before then. I had almost 10 grand in Poker Stars. Yeah. I mean, that was how I was making a living. And, yeah, that's why now when I mess around with online sites, I'm not putting that kind of money in there. I take money out right away.
Yeah.
I never let it get above $500 because I do not want to be stuck with real money in there.
You and I talked about this a lot because after that happened, we were worried about our offshore betting sites.
Yeah.
And the key is just to even if you play every month, if you pull out every month, pull out a certain amount and leave an amount in that you're comfortable playing with. If your account's up to $5,000, $10,000, dude, pull a bunch of that out.
I would, depending on what your bankroll is.
It depends. If your bankroll's, you know, $50,000, that's different than mine.
Yeah, and then,
but if I get my account up to $5,000, I'm pulling a good chunk of that out.
If you've got $50,000 in there, you need to be in Vegas anyway.
Yeah.
You just fly to Vegas because there's no point. But I would recommend that, depending on what you start with, if it's $100, if it's $1,000, you get the five times that, take everything out and go back to what you started with.
Yep.
And if you get 100 and you get over 500, you cash out back down to 100. And one other thing I will tell you is that if it's over 2,400, then it won't go to your account and you've got to get a check, and that will take up to 7 to 8 months. So reality is with those sites, again, part of the gambling is putting your money in, but well, that's one thing. If you're going to do DraftKings, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
You know. So, for me, I'm going to stick with what I do, which I'm better at sports betting and horse racing and poker than I am at fantasy football. So there you go. And people asking about what online sites for poker. Even Bovada is not taking new players now, I noticed.
Oh, really?
I got a notice from them because that's the only reason I was using that site anymore, because I use my bookie for
horses
and sports.
They're not taking new players, period, or for poker?
For poker.
Okay.
So let's get one more on. Oscar,
Hi, guys.
Hey, now.
I'm in a fantasy league, and I got the fourth overall pick. And I was just wondering, with Le'Veon Bell suspension
limited
at three games.
Don't do it.
Who do I go next if I'm going to go running back? David Johnson, Adrian Peterson, Elliott, or should I just pull the trigger on Hopkins?
I think David Johnson or Adrian Peterson is a happy choice.
Peterson's there at four.
Yeah, a lot of drafts, though, I'll say this. A lot of the drafts are going Brown, Beckham, Julio. It's going wide receiver the first three. And if that's the case and Todd Gurley's there, that's who I would take.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think Todd Gurley is probably he's right there with Antonio Brown, depending on your scoring system. If it's PPR, it makes sense to go Antonio Brown, Odell Beckham, Julio Jones. But I'm not getting any further before I take Todd Gurley. But besides those three receivers, I'm probably starting to stack a few running backs before I get into the DeAndre Hopkins, A.J. Green group of guys. Dez Bryant is, I guess, in there too. I don't know that Ezekiel – I'm not sold 100% on Ezekiel. I don't draft rookie running backs that high.
Yeah, I
drafted Todd Gurley in the fifth round last year.
I'm more interested in Alfred Morris later in the draft.
And if you get Ezekiel Elliott, you damn sure better have Alfred Morris.
Yeah. All right, 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in.
All right, got to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions, guys. Give these guys a call if your backyard is not quite up to snuff and it's not as hot anymore. Maybe now's the time you want to get some stuff done. Kids are back to school, so they're not, you know, splashing around in the pool. You want to get it taken care of? No problem. They can renovate that fading pool deck, that grayed out patio, or that outdated driveway with a carved stone overlay. Carved stone gives you the superior look of real stone on your existing surface for less money. It's troweled, hand carved, custom colored for your home, so it looks great. It's very durable, twice as strong as concrete, and they stand behind it with a 7-year warranty. If your backyard's currently a blank slate, don't worry. Allied will build it from the ground up. If you want a functional concrete patio, that's easy. You want to go big, you want the outdoor kitchen with a patio cover or maybe a fire feature or a water feature, they can take care of that too. They can help you on residential and commercial projects, and they can help you save money as well. They even offer 0% financing for up to 18 months as well as several other monthly payment options. With all this, it's no wonder their Best Picks report certified each of the last 4 years. Save yourself the hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. It's too much of a pain. Get a carved stone overlay for the look and feel of real stone for less from Allied Outdoor Solutions today. Stop by the showroom, I-10 in the Beltway, or check out the Carved Stone Project's photo gallery at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, or give them a call for a risk-free estimate, 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
Listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
I'm Glenn Davis. Join me tonight for all things soccer, the World Game. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5, 7 to 9 p.m.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. I just figured out how to mute the text line again. Filter mute on a number. Boom, gone. All right, so goodbye, 281. This is perfect. We can talk a little fantasy football. We got a lot of football to get to, and some of the questions that people ask are a little hard because it's hard to tell when you say, well, I have the fourth pick, what do I do? Well, if I have the eighth pick, what do I do?
If I know what happens with the first three, it makes it a little
right.
easier.
And also, just I'm always going to assume it's a 12-team standard league unless you say it's something else. Because if it's a 10-team league, somebody asked, well, is Jordy Nelson a good first-round pick?
Or, no.
Then somebody said, I got Le'Veon Bell in the third round. Good pickup in the third round, I think. If you can eat...
Yes.
That's a good spot.
Jordy Nelson is not a bad pick if in a 12-team league. If you're in a 10-team league, Jordy Nelson is not a good first-round
yeah.
pick.
Yeah, and if you're in a 16-team league...
Jordy Nelson's a fine first-round pick.
Yeah, so it all kind of depends. And
depends on your league settings, things like that. But
yeah, I know, and we have to kind of do this every year. But I'm not doing any fantasy this year except for the station stuff.
Okay.
I didn't have a good fantasy football year last year. The year before, I was great. Had won three leagues. Last year wasn't good. So
Django says he was in a draft with some idiots and ended up with Brown and Adrian Peterson. Well, that's a good feeling.
If you lose from there, it's on you.
Yeah, I actually have in one of my leagues, it's a keeper league, and I have Todd Gurley kept for as a fifth rounder, and I have the very first pick in the draft. So I'll probably end up with Todd Gurley and Antonio Brown. Which that if I lose that, then well, I just suck.
Well, somebody gets hurt.
Yeah, that's true.
And that it easily can happen, right? Because that's the thing with running backs. Other than AP, who's been remarkably durable,
but is also 31 years old,
right? Yeah, everybody else you've got questions about, and I love Todd Gurley, but the questions about him coming out of college were injuries, and so far so good, but it's 1 year. You know, Jamaal Charles. If you could tell me Jamaal Charles is healthy.
Oh, Jamaal Charles is a top three running back if he's healthy, but you don't.
Different animal.
He won't be healthy.
Yeah.
That's like Jamaal Charles is basically Tony Romo. I mean, you draft him with the expectation that he'll be good when he's on the field, but
right.
Eventually he's not going to be on the field.
713-780-ESPN. Let's try Josh. What's up, Josh? What's up, Josh?
Hello.
Hey now.
It's your cue, bud. Go.
Yeah, I was calling in. I have a second pick in my fantasy draft, and I was wanting to get your opinion on David Johnson as the second pick.
I like David Johnson. I don't know. I don't know if I'm using him or taking him with the second pick because you've just got better options there. I still have Gurley and Adrian Peterson ranked ahead of him, and I probably in most formats have Antonio Brown and Julio Jones ranked ahead of him. So, you know, I'm not saying it's a dumb call, but it's not a call I would make.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you.
Remember, Chris Johnson looked pretty good when he was out there last year too, for Arizona, and he's still there. That's an offense that, while I think we're going to see a lot of running, they've also got a ton of wide receivers and they've got a quarterback that you know that can sling it around a little bit. That's an offense that I'm not 100% sold is going to rely mostly on the run game. I know for a fact Minnesota is going to be a run-heavy offense. I know for a fact that St. Louis is going to be a run-heavy offense. You know, so those types of, that's what helps me make those types of decisions.
What do you do with the Titans? Because it looks like all they're going to do is run the football. Like those guys? Do you give them any? I still like Murray more than I like Henry, but
yeah, I mean DeMarco Murray, I think he's kind of primed for a bounce back. If you get DeMarco Murray in round 5, 6, you're probably pretty happy with that. If you draft him as a flex player, you're probably pretty happy with that. But if you're drafting DeMarco Murray like you did the last 2 years, you're probably pretty foolish.
Yeah, and if you're one of those guys who got burned by him taking him really high, don't be afraid if he's there in 5 or 6.
Yeah.
Because that's a much better value. 713-780-ESPN. Well, you got Lamont.
Man, you've got to prioritize, and I think this year is more important than it has been in the past. And I've always been I've been one of those guys who usually always draft running backs my first two picks, and that strategy has had to change over the years. And this is one of those years where if you don't prioritize wide receiver, I mean, you're going to be hurting, you know, late in the draft. If you get to, you know, like I said, that if the number one wide receiver is Antonio Brown, by the time you get to 36, you're probably looking at someone like Torrey Smith or Willie Snead.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's just a magnificent drop off. So, and really even to like the mid 20s, the drop from the Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham and Julio Jones, that drop down to Jeremy Maclin and Josh Brown and Devontae Parker, that's a pretty steep drop. So yeah, you got to prioritize. If you're in your first 4 rounds, you should probably have 2 wide receivers.
I agree with that. And I would, depending on where you're picking, I wouldn't worry too much about the quarterback, because I think, to me, if I can get a Tyrod Taylor somewhere later on, I'm happy with that. The difference between that and what you'll get out of the very top quarterbacks, you're going to be better off with the receiver.
ESPN's rankings right now, the number 12 quarterback is Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah.
The number 13 quarterback, Matt Stafford. Number 14, Blake Bortles, Derek Carr. I mean, these are the guys that
yeah.
They've got Joe Flacco at 25. I mean, so...
See, and while I don't like Blake Bortles as an NFL quarterback, I like him as a fantasy quarterback.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Same with Tyrod Taylor.
Yeah. Yeah.
These are... Jameis Winston, even, is 18. Would you rather spend a 10th-round pick on Jameis Winston or a 5th-round pick on Drew Brees? I'll tell you what I'd do.
Yeah, Brees and Romo will go too high, because especially in drafts around here.
Yep. But. And, you know, there's the other guys that I'm kind of – I'll stay away from probably. I'll probably stay away from Eli Manning, because who knows what kind of year he'll have. That guy, if you draft him, he's going to be terrible, and if you don't draft him, he'll be great.
If he's a late-round guy and you need a second quarterback, you've got room for one. That's not a guy, bad guy to stash and see.
Philip Rivers is kind of the same as Eli. He's up and down. And Kirk Cousins, I don't believe in what I saw last year. And based on his weapons, it's just not a guy that I'm investing highly in.
In a lot of leagues, I'm just going to stream whoever goes up against the Saints defense, because that worked really well last year.
It's not a bad idea.
And a lot of midlets. And Kirk Cousins had a career game against them, and that was before people were picking him up.
Yep.
So, all right. Quick break. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5. I'm gonna stay late. Some crackhead
is sick. ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. The Rock the Mic finale is at Sherlock's Pub on Friday. Who will become the champ? Join us for the Blitz live broadcast and the finale at Sherlock's on Westheimer, just off Beltway 8 West, between 4 and 7, to cheer on your favorites. So, waiting for a guest here. Which I think that
I actually listened to the podcast of that show, the Sunday show, and nobody was really awful. I mean, but there were a couple that they've got an uphill battle.
All right, we'll get to that. We will we'll discuss in detail. But right now, let's talk a little college football. With ESPN College Football Insider Brett McMurphy. You can follow Brett on Twitter at McMurphyESPN. Brett, appreciate the time, sir. How are you today?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Oh, fantastic. So you got to be pretty excited about next week. When was the last time you saw an opening weekend with this many compelling games across the board?
Never. I mean, I was talking with some buddies about that the other day. I don't think there's anything that can compare to this weekend. I think, you know, we can thank the college football playoff for it, because the selection committee has talked about how important it is to play these tough non-conference games, and that they will reward these teams that step out of conference and play some big name opponents. So we'll have to see if they keep the word when we get to December, if some of these guys, struggle down the stretch with one or two losses, what the playoff committee will do with them.
You know, we're seeing a lot of teams. I mean, I don't want to say they're new to the top of the polls, but a lot of teams who are the highest they've been in a long time, Clemson, for one, starting out at number two, and then there's Tennessee, who's not been really competitive since the mid-2000s. Washington has a fast start, Is this sort of would you say it's been a changing of the guard over the last few years, and there's some new powers in college football?
Yeah, I mean, it certainly looks that way. I mean, you know, I vote in the AP poll, and, you know, I'm sure a lot of guys do the same thing. You look at returning starters, you look, you know, if there's experience at quarterback, kind of success the team had towards the end of last season, and kind of use that. Again, it's a guesstimate. You know, on average, the last 6 years, basically 8 of the 25 preseason top 25 teams were unranked at the end of the year. So basically one third of the teams we totally botched it on. So there's going to be some teams rise up that aren't even in there. And then, you know, some of these teams that are up there are going to end up unranked. You know, I think, the one thing that's pretty amazing for Clemson, the last 5 years, Clemson's the only team in the nation that has actually exceeded or matched their preseason ranking in the final poll. So now starting out at number two, like you mentioned, it's going to be tough to match that streak, keep that streak going, because they're either going to have to reach the national title game again to continue that streak. But certainly Washington and Tennessee, they are the it teams, if you will, of the offseason. A lot of big expectations for those guys, but they haven't done it yet. So we'll have to see if they can live up to those.
The team that has done it and seems to do it every year is Alabama. Once again, they are number one in the polls, 33 out of the 61 first-place votes. I mean, is this sort of a season where you look at this team and say that it's their season to lose?
Well, I mean, I think Alabama gets more benefit of the doubt as far as past success on where they're ranked. And I did vote Alabama number one, so I'm as guilty as anyone else. You know, they usually have about, 12 to 14 starters returning, which they do again this year. They're going to have a new quarterback, which they have had the past 2 years with Blake Sims and Jay Coker. You know, the one thing, which again, it could be the kiss of death, or it'll just be something, another accomplishment for Saban. But you have to go all the way back to 2004 to find a preseason number one team that won the national title. So, is how will Alabama be able to avoid that curse? And then also, you know, as far as their schedule, they got to go to LSU, their toughest game at Ole Miss. Ole Miss tries to beat them three in a row. I would be surprised if Ole Miss was able to do that. But, you know, until Alabama's not in the playoff hunt every year, I think you're always going to find them in the preseason in that, one, two, or three position.
When I look at the top 25 and I put myself in the shoes of a voter, I have to imagine that the toughest school for you to place on your board was Baylor. Am I right in that? It seems like that team is very difficult to know what to expect from this year.
Yeah, it is, and I actually did not rank him.
I think you're smart.
The result of Art Briles not being the coach. I think to simply say that another coach can come in, and I respect Jim Grobe a great deal, and think he's a good coach. An unbelievable man, and he's there for the steer the ship, if you will. But to just kind of sit here and think that someone can come in and replace Art Briles 100 days before opening kickoff and have the same kind of success, I think, underestimates or undervalues how important Art Briles was to that program. I think once they hit some adversity, that I think the wheels could fall off. We'll have to see. But then Baylor could surprise us. They could use the turmoil surrounding the program, the firing of their head coach, as kind of a rallying point and surprise everybody and win the Big 12. Certainly they have the talent, but there's just so much off the field stuff going on. You just wonder how much of a distraction that's going to be.
How hot are the seats for Kevin Sumlin and Charlie Strong coming into this season?
Well, I think it's both of them got monster games week one. And I think if they both win, then they'll calm the masses at least for another week. And if they both lose, then the Tom Herman sweepstakes will officially be underway. I don't know if there's a magic win number for either guy. I think it's, basically how the season pans out. You know, some people suggest if you win certain games, you lose certain games, that helps or hurts you. I just think they both could have solid seasons, whether that's 9 wins, 10 wins. I don't know, but certainly if you start 0-1, you're going to hear all the chirping from the fan bases and other folks that certainly is not going to make their job any easier.
Another team with a huge week one matchup is the University of Houston taking on Oklahoma with probably a little bit less expectation to win than some of these other teams. But if they're competitive, or even if they do win, what chances do they have of continuing? And I guess if they do win, do they have a chance to make the playoff is the first question. And if they don't win, what would they have to do to earn their way back into that sort of that non-Power 5 bowl game?
Well, I think they can lose against Oklahoma and still make the group of five representative in the New Year's Six bowl games, which will be the Cotton Bowl this year. So it'll be a close trip for Houston fans. But I think for them to have any shot at getting into the playoff, they've obviously got to run the table and they've got to be impressive doing it. The fact they've got Oklahoma early and Louisville late helps their cause. But I mean, they have to dominate the league. They can't beat Tulsa by 3 points. It's got to, they've got to dominate every week. And I still actually think if it comes down to it in the selection committee, this is not what, how I view Houston. I think this is how the selection committee will view them. I think if it comes down to the very end and you've got a 12-1 Big Ten champion in Ohio State or Michigan, or you've got a 12-1 SEC champion, whether it's Alabama or LSU, or you've got 12-1 Stanford or UCLA out there, basically any Power 5 team not named Oklahoma, I think the selection committee will pick the Power 5 one-loss team over an undefeated Houston team. And probably your next question is, why in the world will they do that? Well, because the non-conference schedules of the Power 5 teams are on the equivalent of what Houston is playing with Oklahoma and Louisville. The biggest difference, which the selection committee values a lot, is strength of schedule. And I think they'll hold the strength of schedule within the conference against Houston and reward the Power 5 leagues for playing ranked teams within their own conference and, you know, the various different landmines that, that they experience against Power 5 opposition. Do I think that's fair? No, not really, but that's basically kind of the message they've given us, is strength of the schedule is a big component. And I think it's, you know, for the people on the committee, they'll simply say, well, a Power 5 conference schedule is light years tougher than the American conference schedule.
Before we let you go, based on the top 25 poll, I mean, give us a team that you think is going to outperform their preseason rank greatly, and give me a team that you think is going to underperform it by the time the season's over.
I think Miami with Mark Richt there. He's calling plays for the first time since early in his career at Georgia. He told me he's rejuvenated. He actually said if the Miami job wouldn't have opened up, he probably would have took the year off. Brad Kaya is one of the top quarterbacks in the ACC, not named Deshaun Watson. As far as maybe somebody who may slip, I've got two of them. Oklahoma, who I think is the most talented team in the Big 12 with Baker Mayfield and et cetera. But you look at Oklahoma's history with Bob Stoops when they're a top four preseason team, they have not fared well. The last four times they finished the year unranked twice, 15th another year and 16th another year. So until they can live up to those expectations, I think Oklahoma may take a tumble, and the other one's Ole Miss. I think they were in at 11 or 12. Their schedule is just brutal. They play three of the top five teams, Alabama, Florida State, and LSU. Oh, yeah, they also play Georgia plus the rest of the SEC. With that schedule, I'd be amazed if Ole Miss remains in the top 10. If they certainly can be successful in those games, then you can book their trip to the playoff, because nobody will have played a tougher group of teams than Ole Miss.
That's Brett McMurphy, ESPN College Football Insider. Follow him on Twitter at McMurphyESPN. Brett, really appreciate the time, sir, and good stuff, man. Hopefully we can talk to you again.
Okay, thank you.
All right,
guys, I got to tell you about my good friends over at Window World. And if your home has old aluminum or wooden windows with regular glass, you need to check out the energy-efficient replacement windows from Window World. They're double-hung, double-pane windows from Window World. They offer American-made premium quality. They've got a transferable lifetime warranty that includes glass breakage. Installation usually just takes one day for the average home. Financing's available. Lots of reasons to go with Window World, and eventually they're going to pay for themselves. You know, all the money that goes out your window eventually is going to catch up with you. And if you instead invest in your home and your windows and the property value of your home, it's going to be the right move. And it's a lot better to have something that you can see and you can feel and you can touch and is transferable. Like I said, if you ever sell your home, then it's just let that money go away every month in energy bills. They're double hung, which means the top and bottom tilt for easy cleaning. The vinyl trim means you never have to repaint them. There's too many reasons to go with Window World and not enough to say no. Call them today for a free estimate, 713-439-1172, or go to windowworldhouston.com. That's Window World, simply the best for less.
Nothing about trust in you, no nothing.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.